I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go, go, go!
With Erleada, apalutamide, being there is possible. Erleada is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. Erleada may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. Erleada can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if Erleada is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit Erleada.com. CP43-9267-V1.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big. We go all night. And here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
Hello and welcome to the Rushmore Cosby Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network. A lot to get into here on a Tuesday, so let's not waste any time. Let's bring in from the Sporting Tribune, Grant Mona. Grant, how are you?
Doing well, Arash. Just counting down the days till basketball returns. It feels like the off season already. That's how long we've had off. But yeah, I'm enjoying all the other sports right now, and a lot of media controversy around the WNBA, and baseball's in full swing. So we still got plenty to watch.
Yeah, I mean, I am surprised a little bit about some of the dialogue going on, like, you know, the Monica McNutt, Stephen A. Smith thing, I thought was wild. I think Stephen A. should just be truthful and honest about that, that there has been, prior to this season, quite frankly, a lack of coverage about the WNBA. So he should have just taken that and said, hey, listen, we all could have done better. And whether he's covered the league more than most, I mean, it was a pretty low bar, unfortunately. But then to take that moment to say that no one would know Monica if it wasn't for First Take or his show, I mean, she's been doing this for quite some time. We may swing back into that, but there was another big story today in sports gambling, and we've talked about this, you know, briefly with the Shohei Ohtani situation with his interpreter, but this is actual baseball players. One of them, you know, is a player who was with the San Diego Padres. If you can, Grant, can you give us the latest on, again, one player getting a lifetime ban from Major League Baseball?
Yeah, it was a player on the Padres. I'm probably going to botch his name, so I don't want to do it right now. But he was not a prominent player. He was in their organization. And the reports was that he only won on 4% of his bets, and he placed like a lot of them. So if you think, Arash, like, this guy was in a big league organization. There's many players that would love to be in a professional organization playing Major League Baseball or at least minor league baseball. And this guy has it set up for him, and he's only winning 4% of his bets anyways. And he gets a lifetime ban. And this is the first lifetime ban that we've seen from Major League Baseball regarding betting since Pete Rose, if I'm not mistaken. And look, I know Pete Rose was a very prominent figure, and that's why it was such a bigger scandal. And now I think we're desensitized to the whole situation just because we've seen it happen now in the NBA. We've seen NFL players being suspended for gambling, not banned yet, but suspended for gambling on other sports using actual team facilities and their internet access and all that. So now we have multiple instances of sports betting, I guess, scandals, I guess, controversies, investigations between across all sports. And I'm not sure if the NHL has been involved yet. I haven't heard of anything with any NHL players being caught doing it as of yet. But across the three most major sports in America, we now have cases in each of those sports. And you know, you can say what you want about how deeply integrated sports betting is into all these sports now. And look, it's a moneymaker. We gotta agree on that. It's a moneymaker, and networks are in on it. You know, companies are in on it. The leagues are in on it. You see FanDuel and DraftKings and MGM, Caesars, Circa, all over, right? You see it all over and integrated into all of these networks. This is probably what's going to happen when it's more deeply integrated. And we just have to accept the fact that nowadays it's changed. Like, obviously, 10, 15 years ago, we would have never seen things like this. And we didn't see anything like this for many decades. But now that it's so easily available to a lot of these players, like, they can just log in and sign up and go and play, like, just like a common citizen can. And that makes it way easier for these players to get involved in these types of things. So while it is so, so unfortunate to see it happen like this, I think this is just going to be reality. Like, we just got to accept, like, we're going to have more and more players being caught just because it's more readily available now. And, you know, there hasn't been really many prominent players, like I mentioned, being caught doing it since, like, Pete Rose. I know Shohei Ohtani has been the talk of everything, but he was never caught for doing it. Like, yes, there's a federal investigation and he was clear of it. That's what I try to tell people. Like, it wasn't an MLB investigation. The federal government did an investigation and he was innocent. So while you can say all these things about him, he's still innocent right now. So while there are no prominent players, Arash, we are starting to see more names pop up, and it's just going to have to be a reality right now. Like, we have to accept it as sports media, as personalities, as people that cover these teams, that this is going to happen from time to time. And I just feel, unfortunately, I hate to say this, but I think it's going to happen more and more now that it's readily available to a lot of these players.
Yeah, I just wanted to name the player, Tucapita Marcano. He was with the Pittsburgh Pirates at the time of these wagers as of yesterday, not anymore, but he was a member of the San Diego Padres. So just to give a little bit of a backstory, that it was today, Tuesday, that Major League Baseball permanently banned Marcano after determining that the infielder placed hundreds of bets on baseball, including wagers on games involving the Pittsburgh Pirates when he was with that team last season. The league said Tuesday that Marcano placed 387 baseball bets, totaling more than $150,000 in October of 2022 from last July through November with a legal sports book. He became the first active player in a century banned for life because of gambling. Just to give a little bit more, again, he was on the San Diego Padres and he was found to have placed 231 Major League Baseball related bets, including 25 that Major League Baseball says included wagers on the Pirates when he was playing for the Pittsburgh Pirates last season. Again, when you look at the number, Grant, I think that's the toughest pill to swallow. Again, don't know exactly what he was making, but when you're talking about throwing away your baseball career, again, he was currently with the San Diego Padres prior to being permanently banned Tuesday last season. He was on the Pittsburgh Pirates. So, you know, you talk about these San Diego Padres, Pittsburgh Pirates, $150,000. And again, to your point, I don't know how much he won, probably wasn't a ton, but you're talking low six figures. And the only thing that, I can hope, you know, a lot of things get lost in translation as well. And the league is very clear on gambling. But when you make a legal sports bet and it's for a total that, listen, when you're making that many wagers and the grand total of, let's say, 300 bets go for like 150,000, like none of these bets are outrageous. So, I mean, I truly, and again, he should have known. I don't know to what extent he knew what he was doing was wrong, because again, he wasn't dealing with an illegal bookmaker. Again, that was the problem with Shohei Ohtani. And by the way, Marcano won only 4.3% of his bets. Again, Shohei did not bet. To your point, it was a federal investigation, not a team or a league investigation. But the issue was, if Shohei knew about it, those bets were being made within an illegal someone taking bets in California where you cannot. He was making legal bets, again, from where the Pirates play, for example. You can see a casino. And so this will be interesting how the league deals with this moving forward. Again, this is the first time in a century that we've seen a player banned for life, current player. Again, Pete Rose was a manager for actively placing bets on the Major League Baseball, but like the team that he was currently playing for. Do you think that this is a bigger problem? Again, this is the first player that we've seen, again, in a century to be banned for making bets. But could this be a trend? Or do you think, again, I've said this, the only players susceptible to situations like this are players who are making below $1 million per year. Again, you're not going to throw away your
career
for $150,000.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, usually, like what we saw with the NBA, like, it was Jontay Porter, right? And he was a guy that was making more than I'm assuming this dude on the Padres was making. But you know, you got to understand that it's usually these lower level players that are on veteran minimums or on rookie contracts or two way contracts, whatever it may be. And I still don't understand it, Arash. Like, you're making way more than the average person will ever make. Like, you're making way more than, now he'll probably have to find a job somewhere else. I don't know if he'll play overseas or whatever, but you're making so much more than the average person. Like, your life is almost set at this point if you just stay away from gambling, and they just can't do it. So, like you mentioned, yeah, it is usually the lower level players, which is why it made the Shohei Ohtani name pop up. That's why it made it so shocking. But, you know, obviously he was cleared. So we haven't really had a prominent player do it. Like, even when Calvin Ridley did it in the NFL, like, he wasn't placing bets on his own team, and he wasn't placing bets illegally. He was just placing bets. He was just gambling. Like, he was placing bets on, you know, the NFL, but it was other teams while his team wasn't playing. So while he did use the team facilities to do it, it was all legal in the terms of what he was doing. And in this case, it's legal as well. Like, if he was just a common citizen, there would be no repercussions from this. Yeah. It's just that the leagues are really strict about these things, and as they should be. Look, I don't want the players on my team throwing a game because they took the under on themselves. Like, obviously nobody wants that. That ruins the integrity of the game. That ruins the reason why we love sports, is for the competitiveness. That's what it ruins. So I'm glad the league is doing at least something to actually put their foot down and say, look, you will be banned. I don't care who you are. You will be banned. So I unfortunately, like I mentioned, I think it will be a trend. I think we'll see many other players doing this. If there are any players that are in the higher tax brackets, I guess you could say, these guys that have massive contracts doing it, then it would probably be an even bigger issue. But if it just continues to be guys that are on minimum contracts, I feel like it won't be that big of an issue, because look, like I mentioned, a lot of networks and a lot of, you know, corporations are heavily involved with these gambling companies now. And that's just the way this new era is.
Yeah. And again, you cannot watch a game. And now with ESPN, you know, having their own sports book or placing their name on a sports book, every game has the line and the over under and things like that. It is so much a part of the way that we talk about sports. Again, for years it was that way, but now even more so than that. All right, you touched on it, Grant. We have a long delay here, but it's thankfully almost coming to an end before game one of the NBA Finals, which will be Thursday, June 6th. The Dallas Mavericks head to Boston. Again, this is, I was amazed by this stat that I heard, that this is the first time that the Boston Celtics are favored in the NBA Finals prior to game one to win the finals since 1986. Again, they were not favored to beat the Lakers in 1987. They were not favored in 2008 when they actually did beat the Lakers, and they were not favored in 2010 when they lost to the Lakers, and they were not favored in 2022 when they lost to the Warriors. So this is the first time since 1986 that they are the favorites. Grant, again, I think when we've looked at the Dallas Mavericks during the course of this postseason, every series has been a coin flip, or the majority of people have said, I don't really see them going too far. Again, if the Clippers were healthy, perhaps the Clippers beat them. If the Thunder had a little bit more experience, perhaps they beat them. I still do not know what happened to the Minnesota Timberwolves from that Denver series to the series against the Mavericks. But either way, no one thought that they would get this far. They are here. Your thoughts heading into game one. And again, we have plenty of time to talk about it, but definitely want to touch on it today.
Yeah, it's, Kristaps Porzingis was actually ruled as available for game one. So that's a big gain for the Celtics. I expected him to play in game one, but, the official report now from Shams Charani is that he will play in game one, which is a huge for Boston. I mean, the fact that he can stretch the floor, he's one of the best rim blockers in the league. I think he was top five in that category in rim protection. So against a Dallas team that loves to play in the paint and that has great centers, that's going to be huge. In terms of the Dallas thing, there's been a lot of rhetoric since this Minnesota series ended. There's been a lot of talk about, what happens if Luka wins this? What happens if, where is his place amongst the greats if he wins something like this? And it was kind of crazy, that those odds that you mentioned, it's crazy that the Celtics weren't favored in 08, and they weren't favored in 2010, and those are teams that were so good. And just going back, I think I listened to Bill Simmons and Ryan Russillo talk about this, and they were saying the Miami Heat, again, the last time the Mavericks were in the finals, the Miami Heat were actually underdogs in that series against the Dallas Mavericks, which is absolutely crazy to me. I don't know how that was actually a thing. But the Dallas Mavericks were actually the favored team in that finals. I don't know. In 2012, I think the Thunder were favored. So a lot of these odds are very weird. Like, you look at the matchup and the talent discrepancy and you say, how could that even be possible? But, usually the odds makers, they set things very low and they can try to be a little bit conservative. Because in the finals, especially after such a long layoff, you never know what you're going to get. I remember the Celtics in 2022, they beat the Warriors on their home floor in game one. And everyone's like, oh my goodness, this series, I can't believe they did this. And they ended up losing the series because the Warriors went on a heater in the middle of that series and in Boston. So, while I don't like to take a lot of things into account with these odds, I do like to kind of establish my thinking and kind of give what I think after game one. I usually like to see game one of the finals because, look, the finals are a different breed, right? You have a long layoff. There's a lot of jitters, a lot of being nervous. There's an extra long, it doesn't usually start on time. Like, it usually starts 15 minutes later. There's presentations. There's, announcements before. So it's a different vibe than a regular playoff game or a regular season game. So a lot of these players might be thrown off by that. And there are a lot of players that will just get a different vibe and a different energy from a game one. So that's why you'll see some teams kind of, upset the favorite in game one. So I would like to see after game one what happens. But this series, I still think the Celtics will win. I think they're just better with Kristaps Porzingis. They were, I think, over the course of the season, including the playoffs, Arash, they are 76-20. Overall, and I think there's only a handful of teams that have had 70 wins and 20 losses going into the finals. So this is an all-time great Boston Celtics team, which makes the Luka and Kyrie thing even a little bit, it just makes it a little bit more interesting if they do upset the Celtics, because I feel like it would be one of the biggest upsets that we've had. I mean, just in terms of what the Celtics did in the regular season. They were a 60-win team. They are heavily favored in a lot of the series that they were in the playoffs. They were supposed to win the title. A lot of people had them winning the title. So if Luka and Kyrie can even just push this to a seventh game, I'd give them a ton of credit. Salute to you guys, because you're not even supposed to be here. Much like I mentioned about other series, they're playing with house money, Arash. So the Mavericks can do this. They're such a great basketball team, but I'm just excited for the script. Like, just guys, you know, Kristaps against his old team, and Kyrie against Boston, and, you know, Luka against Tatum and Brown. It's just going to be so fun. So I'm just looking forward to really, really fun basketball.
Well, last thing for you. I mean, how much do Tatum and Brown need to win a championship? Again, this is their second finals together. It seems like they're in the conference finals every year. In Boston, though, much like with the Lakers, you're judged by the number of championships that you've won. So, I mean, once again, on the cusp, on the doorstep, like right there, four wins away. How much does Brown and Tatum, that tandem, need to win a title to say, hey, we are part of this like all-time great history?
Yeah, it would be a failure if they didn't. This has to be the year that they win it. I mean, these guys have been going at it since, what, 2018? I mean, I remember when young Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown were taking on LeBron on the Cavs in 2018 in the conference finals, in a game seven at that. So they have been at it for a long time, and they've been right there each and every time. I thought they would win in 2022, but obviously Jason Tatum had one of his worst series of his career in that finals. This is a chance for redemption for him, and it's a chance for Jaylen Brown to ascend. Look, he was Eastern Conference Finals MVP. He was a guy that, you know, a lot of people thought was the Robin to Jason Tatum's Batman, and now it seems like it's kind of flipped a little bit with the way Jaylen Brown's playing. So if you get Jaylen Brown playing like this, where he's putting up 30 points per game and he's taking over the games down the stretch and he's playing excellent defense, and then you have Tatum. Look, I think Jason Tatum should be used as kind of a decoy, in my opinion. I know he can put up 20, 25 plus points per game, but as long as Jason Tatum becomes that two-way player that he can be, that guy that can defend multiple positions and hit the timely shots, he doesn't need to average 30 points per game in this finals. Just be an excellent Robin to Jaylen Brown's Batman if you have to. And I think if those two can do that, I mean, they'll probably win this series. Not easily, but they'll win it. And just for their legacies, like, this Celtics team is there every single year. So they need to get it done this year. If not this year, there's going to be a lot of conversations, Arash, in the offseason about these two. And not just those two, but the team.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about a franchise that has won 17 championships, tied for the most with the Lakers in league history, you're judged by championships. So as great as this run has been in terms of the number of conference finals, being at the doorstep, number of finals they need to win it all. All right, let's leave it there for now. When we come back, we're going to catch up with the WWE's Rick Williams. When we come back right here on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, the Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
Welcome back to the Rush Marconi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090, ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. A big WWE event coming to the UFC Apex. It is going to be the NXT Battleground, again, at UFC Apex in Las Vegas this Sunday, June 9th, 4 p.m. Pacific. If you can't get tickets, you can watch it on Peacock. We had Shawn Michaels on the show last week talking about it. And today we have the champion of NXT, Trick Williams. He caught up with the Sporting Tribune's Fredo Cervantes and Deidrian Hernandez. He spoke to both of them. Amazing that he sat down and chatted with both of our guys. So we're going to play for you now both of those conversations, beginning with Fredo, followed by the one and only Deidrian Hernandez, who's killing it on his YouTube with these conversations. So let's talk to champion, Trick Williams.
Hey, how's it going, everyone? Myself, Fredo Cervantes, here with the Sporting Tribune. We got the one and only WWE NXT champion, Mr. Trick Williams.
Yes,
how you doing, Trick?
The one and only Trick Willie and the Billy. Let's talk about it.
Yes, sir. Welcome. It's time to whoop that trick, right?
Yes, sir. It is the whoop that era.
Yes, yes, that's right. So first of all, I want to talk about that trend right there, because the moment we talk about Trick Williams, we always hear the trend of, you know, how did that come about? It's, you know, it's time to whoop that trick there, as all the fans are always, always letting you know about it.
Oh, man, to be honest, it happened organically. Like, man, it was back in the early 2.0 days when I was still rocking with Melo. And we'll go out for his entrance and people be chanting, whoop that trick. Now, I didn't know what that meant, if it was with me or against me or with us or what exactly that meant. But I noticed when I hit a move, you know, it seemed to be like a term of endearment. So I'm like, okay, this is a good thing. So now I started to embrace it. And well, that trick is taking off even more and more and more. So, yeah, man. I mean, I know it starts. Yeah, movie Hustle and Flow, you know, it's probably 20-something years old. But, you know, originated in Memphis. A guy named Al Capone, who wrote the original song, you know, he's reached out to me and gave me the blessing to use the chant and everything. So, man, it's just a win-win situation.
Well, talking about win-win situations, you know, we got NXT champion Trick Williams here. He, as he looks ahead to NXT Battleground in Las Vegas this Sunday night. It's going to be an amazing night, but I want to talk about your preparation and your emotions as you look ahead to the week of the big match.
Yeah, man, I mean, up to this point, I don't know who my challenger would be. I know Ethan Page tried to skip the line, jump onto our show, and take out the champ. He must have bumped his head. Somebody done told him wrong. Worry about it. We're going to fix that. But, you know, up to this point, still haven't, you know, been told who my challenger will be. So, you know, honestly, I'm just doing what I do and just staying on top of my game. I'm staying in the gym, you know, staying in the ring, staying in tip-top shape so I can put on a show regardless.
Yeah, so right now, to kind of rewind a little bit for some of the people that may not know much about Trick Williams, let's talk about your football career, because before you got into the ring, you were out on the football field. Talk to me about your love for football and how that kind of started for you.
Yeah, man, I've been playing football. Well, I played football from the age of 4 all the way to 25, if I'm not mistaken. From Little League, my first touchdown was for the wrong team. You know, I ran backwards and not forward.
No way.
Yeah, man. Trick, 4-year-old Trick Williams running the wrong way. But
oh, my Lord.
I always loved the game, man. Like, I always, you know, my pops played football and it's kind of partial to me. And I played all the way to Hampton University, transferred University of South Carolina Gamecocks. Shout out to Steve Spurrier. And then made my way to the Philadelphia Eagles, where, you know, I got cut from the Eagles and didn't know exactly what was next for me. And that's when I found myself, you know, wrestling in a WWE tryout. I didn't get accepted right away. They didn't offer me a contract, but they told me to, you know, keep pursuing, you know, wrestling, and they'll bring me back for another tryout. That's what I did until COVID broke out. Then I moved to California and I continued to train at Knoxboro with Rikishi until I got another tryout, and then been wrestling ever since.
Wow. And did you love wrestling growing up? Was it something you were into, or was it just something that kind of came on the table for you at the right time after, you know, getting cut by the Eagles?
Absolutely. I mean, man, I was watching wrestling since the Attitude Era. You know, I stopped as I got a little bit older. But yeah, man, my first cuss word, man, I opened a can of whoop ass at about 3 years old. So, true story. So, you know, like, I was Stone Cold was my favorite, and The Rock. And, yeah, man, that's what we did, you know. But as football became more demanding on the schedule, like, trying to get recruited, you know, me trying to make it to the NFL and stuff like that, you know, just wasn't into wrestling as much.
So Stone Cold, The Rock were two of your favorite wrestlers growing up?
Yeah, Stone Cold, The Rock, Booker T, Triple H, Edge, you know, all those guys.
And how is it now kind of working, you know, with Triple H and, you know, everyone around the just the WWE universe?
Man, it's unreal, man. I mean, like, because you grow up, you know, being from where I'm from, you know, you didn't really know how to get into the business. Like, it's just something that you just watch from afar and you appreciate it. you know, when they came in town, he was lucky enough to maybe get some tickets and go to a show. But, like, you know, never once did somebody tell me how to get into the business or, like, all these things you can do to pursue it. So, you know, when that became a, you know, an option for me, I was like, oh, wow, like, this is crazy. Like, no, it wasn't that I wouldn't have done it. I just never knew how to do it, per se. So now that I'm, you know, I pursued it and I've experienced some great success along the journey, man, it's just awesome to, you know, meet some of my heroes face to face.
That's amazing. So, right, you know, out of those wrestlers right there, I'm sure, you know, you loved a lot of the people from the Attitude Era because that was arguably one of the best times in WWE history there. But who did you kind of like, you know, resemblance in your kind of work ethic, your wrestling moves and, you know, your entrance, because you're so energetic, your charisma on the ring, on behind the mic, is just amazing there.
Thank you. But, ultimately, man, like, you can probably see a piece of me in, like, a lot of the guys who, you know, I admire because, you know, like, when you're young, you're very impressionable. So when you see these, you know, people that you look up to, like, a piece of them, you know, stays with you. So when you grow up, you're like, man, I don't know why I talk like this. It's probably because you really enjoy watching so-and-so talk like this back in the day. So, you know what I mean? I'm sure, you know, Trick Williams is just a culmination of everything that I thought was cool when I was a young child.
That's amazing, sir. So look, check this out. You know, you talked about the moment that you kind of went to Shawn Michaels and you let him know, like, hey, look, I'm ready. I want the ball. Like, let me have it. And, you know, what did Shawn Michaels originally tell you there?
And he told me no. He told me, you know, like, you know, you're doing great at what you're doing, which is working alongside Carmelo Hayes. And then he proceeded to tell me that, now, a lot of guys ask for the ball, but they're not ready for it. And if he gives me an opportunity that I'm not ready for it, you know, I may be sitting on the bench for a while. So, you know, that's what he told me. And then, you know, decided, you know, maybe he decided it was time, maybe a few weeks later after that. Then from there, man, the rest is honestly is history and been taking off since.
And, you know, knowing, you know, when you were a young kid, because normally, you know, you watch it on television and you see these superstars like The Rock, Stone Cold winning championships after championships and just having a lot of success. And then now you fast forward, what, 20 years later or so, 2025, you look at it yourself, like now there's kids watching you have the success on the ring and stuff like that. Like, what would you tell a young kid right now if, you know, if you had the opportunity to let them know how they can kind of pursue their dreams and you never know where you'll be in years to come?
I would tell the young kid, take a chance on yourself. You know, you have to have confidence in yourself. And if you want something out of life, if you want to make it, see yourself doing something, you know, incredible. And you know the difference between you making it there and not is maybe you moving, maybe you opening your mouth and asking for an opportunity. You got to do what you got to do to get that opportunity. Because as I look at my life, man, like first and foremost is God. And secondly, like, man, it's literally been taking a chance on myself back to back to back to back to back. I ain't saying every single time was a yes, but every single time it got me closer to where I'm supposed to be. So my biggest thing is, hey, you got to take a chance on yourself, believe in yourself. And if it's in your heart, it's in your heart for a reason. Stand on that.
That's great. So we got right now NXT champion, the one and only Trick Williams here with the Sporting Tribune. Last question before I let you go here. Your birthday just passed. You just turned 30 years old on May 26th. Let's not spread the word out there on your age. But tell me a little bit about how you kind of experienced your birthday and what did you do to celebrate that?
Man, it's crazy. I went to my family's house in South Carolina and I literally spent time with my family and went to sleep. Like, you know, I've been ripping and running for a good bit and, you know, I got, you know, Memorial weekend off. Thank you for all the military veterans. Thank you for your service. And on their day, which happened to be my birthday, I went to sleep.
To the NXT champion, legend in the making, Trick Williams. Trick, Listen, it's a cool situation to have you on the show because you're not only the future, but you're the present. And before we get into things that's happening in the ring, I need to take you back to Philly. I'm glad you remember. I asked you a question. I asked you. I asked Shelton Benjamin. I asked the Street Profits. Who else did I ask? Ricochet, Samantha Irvin. You were the only one that went on a ledge and didn't not pick a side. And you said, I'm Team Kendrick. It seems like the dust has settled.
Was I right?
I think you was right. Shout out to you. If you want to speak your truth and kind of how this all played out and what you thought of it.
They not like us. They not like us. Nah, they not like us. Come on, man. I mean, for real. I mean, shout out to Kendrick because I just know he a real one, man. He's truly into the craft. You know what I mean? And I just respect him because, you know, he stayed true to who he was. I mean, not that I'm anti anybody else. You know, I just, you know, I'm partial to Kendrick on this one. And on top of that, everybody loves my entrance music, my theme song. My entrance music is based similarly off of Family Ties by Kendrick Lamar. So that just lets you know how deep the roots go back. I said, I want a beat that sounds something like this. And I played Kendrick Lamar, Family Ties. You got this. Now we're whooping that trick all over America. Let's talk about it.
And let me tie this in even better. Family Ties with Baby Keem, Kendrick's cousin, born and raised here in Las Vegas. Basically, okay. What you're saying is Kendrick and Baby Keem got the invite to Battleground, correct?
Hey, can you write a story better than this? It just happens organically.
It's a beautiful thing. Another thing that's kind of happened organically that's been beautiful to see play out. Homegirl Sexy Red, what do you make? She brought you guys out, did a little twerking. She did her thing. Like, any impressions? What's going on?
Hey, man, that's all on her, man. You know, man, she was such a, she you know, cool to work with, man. You know, like, the vibes are supernatural. You know, I told her, like, hey, man, this is how we're going to do this. We're going to come out. We're going to do our entrance. We're going to rock out. We're just going to vibe. You know what I mean? I'm going to take the right. Javon Evans going to take the left. You take the middle. You do your thing. I'm going to help you in the ring. Let's just see how I go. And we run the play. I help her in the ring. I go to my corner. Javon go to his. And I just happened to peek my head over the shoulder to see what Stacey Red was doing. And she in a full split. Now, mind you, I just wasn't ready for it. You know, I wasn't ready for all that. She, you know, but she did what she did for the vibe of the whole entrance. You know what I mean? And it, you know, it got the ratings that we needed. So shout out to Stacey Red.
The trick, when the beat goes hard, you can never control how someone's going to react to it. And that's all that is. If I could take you back a few weeks, and I got the quote here, bar for bar. You threw a line at Lash Legend. And let me just say it. I know exactly what your type is. You think I'm a little Reese's cup, don't you? I bet you want to take this gold off and get straight to the chocolate on the inside, don't you? Who helped you with this? If you use this line in real life, what's going on? He put the glass. Where did this come from? I need the inspiration, my G. Let me get my notes out.
That's all me, Trick Willy Wonka. You know what I mean? Like, hey, the chocolate factory himself, Trick Willy, let's talk about it.
That's a beautiful thing. And I may or may not, I'm going to do a little remix to it. Let me see how it works out for me. I don't think I'm going to have the success rate that you get because you're the one with the belt, but you got to shoot your shots. You know what I'm saying? And speaking of shooting your shots, to shoot a ball, you need to have the ball. And you've talked a lot about wanting to get that ball, going to Sean and being like, hey, man, you know, I want to take this and go, and I want to try to score a touchdown. And, you know, in Philly, a lot of things that were said was, hey, this is a new era. Coming to Vegas, this is something new. As you guys head to the CW, this is a fresh new era. Some of Carmelo and the rest of the roster, some of them have been moved up. And this is you. This is you getting the ball. Like, if I could, at what point, because obviously this has been a 2-year run, it feels like this has happened instantly. When did you feel that the switch went off in your head?
Man, I was just talking about this, man. I had to say it was probably a match with Ilya Dragunov. I believe it was Heat Wave. But I remember as he proceeded to kick me in the head over and over and over, and the vision on my left eye was blurry. I said, I am in a fight. And it's in my best interest to just lay it all on the line and go out fighting, regardless of what happens. You know what I mean? Having that spirit of a fighter, that spirit of a champion. You know what I mean? And did I win the match? No. But I earned everybody's respect that night. And the reception I got from the audience that night was crazy because they say, you know, Trick this fight. You know, Ilya Dragunov, of course he fights. That's what he does. But it's literally that simple, man. It's not about flips and all this other type of stuff, man. It's about getting in there and putting your heart in the ring. And I think since that moment, I've been able to approach this game totally different.
And I thought cool during the Mania run in Memphis, The Rock comes out. He's about to get out the Mama Rhodes belt. And obviously Memphis knows a lot about whooping that Trick. Shout out to the Grizzlies. But to hear that to the point that I'm not even sure if The Rock knew exactly what the hell was going on as the sold out crowd was chanting for you. And that moment with The Rock was probably the biggest one, but it's happened throughout some of these shows leading up to this. And even when you came out to SmackDown, I think it was in Miami, to get that reception, to know that The Rock, the biggest star in the world, and the crowd wasn't chanting for him, my G, chanting for you. How did that feel like?
Well, you know, as much as I like to take all the credit for it, I'll say this. Whoop That Trick is a Memphis thing, as we both know. The movie...
Hustle and Flow, Hustle and Flow.
No, thank you. Hustle and Flow, you know, based out of Memphis, is actually written by a guy named Al Capone, who has given me the blessing to continue to whoop that Trick all over the world. The actual songwriter, Al Capone. Shout out to Al Capone. So what I'll say is this. Did I invent the term Whoop That Trick? Absolutely not. It's to play off my name. But, you know, it's just the people came up with the chant for me inside of wrestling. So I would like to say inside of wrestling, you know, Whoop That Trick has been popularized by the one and only Trick Williams. Now, am I going to say that, hey, was they expecting for me to come out and lay a people's elbow on the Rock? I'm not going to say that. All I'm going to say is the phrase Whoop That Trick, I feel like I had a lot to do to help popularize that inside of wrestling. And that's all I can take credit for. You know what I mean? The rest is history.
That's amazing. And we'll close out with this. By the way, there might be a location for you to drop that people's elbow on him. WrestleMania 42 in Vegas. Tickets going on sale soon enough, I hope. But we'll close out with this. And I got the chance to ask Sean this. And obviously, you know, Sean running everything. This is a different perspective, excuse me, which is why I want to ask you. CM Punk being around the facility, kind of mentoring. There's been a few moments that WWE's captured, kind of helping you and some others, whether it's called mentoring, whatever you want to call it. To have that, what's the one thing that stood out, getting to have those conversations and the time with him in the performance center?
And mentor is a perfect way to put it, man. He's been, you know, a blessing for all of us who, you know, take the time to actually go talk to him and reach out to him. You know, he's helped me with a few things that I feel like, if the crowd knew about it, they'll be very grateful that he did. And I'm just leave it there. Shout out to CM Punk, man. He's been a positive light for all of us here in NXT.
Man, you've been a positive light for the WWE Universe. Keep doing your thing, man. This Sunday, UFC Apex, NXT Battleground for the first time ever. Doing it in Vegas, doing it at Apex. A few tickets left, access.com. And again, Sunday night, June 9th, you can stream it exclusively on Peacock. The WWE NXT World Champion, Trick Williams, South Carolina. Shout out to Asia Wilson and Trick. Thank you for the time, brother.
Hey, let's talk about it. Appreciate you, Adrian.
All right, that was NXT champion Trick Williams talking to our very own Fredo Cervantes and Adrian Hernandez with the Sporting Tribune. You can read the story that Fredo did. It's on the front cover, front page of the Sporting Tribune today. Again, big event. It's the NXT Battleground happening at UFC Apex on Sunday, this Sunday, June 9th, 4 p.m. Pacific on Peacock. If you can't get tickets to go there and see it yourself, it's going to be an amazing event. That is all the time we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe and stay healthy.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are.
Go, 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 go!
With Erleada, apalutamide, being there is possible. Erleada is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. Erleada may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. Erleada can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if Erleada is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit Erleada.com. CP43-9267-V1.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.